Welcome to the Sharing Project podcast. I'm your host, Kristen. Join me as I share candid conversations with inspirational people in my life. We will discuss the meaning of life, our soul's purpose, making big decisions, and much, much more. Thanks for being here. All right, you guys, we're back with Marcella for part two of my conversation with her. I'm going to try to keep this really brief. I realized that in the first episode, I didn't really give Marcella a proper introduction with her credentials included. So I wanted to make sure to do that now. So you heard all about Marcy's personal roots in faith and ministry, but she went on to receive formal education in theology. She got her master's degree from Boston College in pastoral ministry. And before that, she got her bachelor's in theology from the University of San Francisco, which is a Catholic, specifically Jesuit university. And she got her associate's degree from Chaminade University in Honolulu, which she talked about in that first episode, her experience going away to college in another state that she had never been to before. Brave lady. So just want to talk about that. I also want to share that Marcy, in addition to being an educator, to being a parent, to being a justice worker, she also is a celebrant, and she works with couples to prepare and to guide their wedding ceremonies. She has a Instagram account that you can check out, MY the Celebrant, MYTHECELEBRANT. I'll put it in the show notes, but you can see some snapshots from some ceremonies that she's done. Marcy has a great way of really leaning into what people are about, and really crafting something very personal and very tailor-made to what their beliefs and their needs are. So I'm really proud of her for developing that leg of her work in the world. So if you didn't hear episode one, or technically episode seven, part one of this conversation with Marcy, I encourage you to go back and listen to it. But I don't think it's necessarily a prerequisite for jumping in right here midstream into what we had to talk about. So in this episode, things get real juicy because Marcella shares with us about her disillusionment with the Catholic Church and kind of what sparked that and what that's been about and the ways in which she's been grappling with how to make peace with, participating in the Catholic Church given problems that she sees and that she's encountered, and how she's forging her own path through that, making meaning, reconciling, and making peace with, and then really in a new position that she has now, how she's moving forward, focusing on justice and service, and specifically global solidarity. Something that really stood out to me in this second part of our chat was the theme of the radical Jesus. So really connecting with this change-making, unconventional spirit that we call Jesus, and specifically about how love should be more about what we do rather than what we say or what we believe. And it reminded me of a quote by St. Ignatius of Loyola. St. Ignatius is the founder of the Jesuit order, which runs like Loyola Marymount University and USF that Marcella attended. But the Jesuit spirituality is very specific and it's very justice focused. But there's a quote from St. Ignatius that says, "Love ought to show itself in deeds more than in words." And that's something that I remember from my undergraduate education. And that Marcella, I think everything that she talks about and everything she stands for is really about how do we take responsibility for one another? She talks about being our brother's keeper. How do we show love through our actions and specifically through pursuing and representing justice in the world? So enjoy part two of this convo with Marcella. And again, if this isn't your experience in faith or in the world and church, listen anyway, because, I think it's just very inspiring. I felt very inspired listening to Marcy share about how she's, making meaning. If you're a person who has struggled with your religious tradition that you inherited from your parents or from your grandparents, I think it's really important to talk about this messy middle of what happens when you're questioning your religious beliefs and the faith that you were given. You don't want to necessarily throw the baby out with the bathwater, but how do you hold on to the parts that really matter, that help you make meaning, meaning in the world, and help you feel a sense of purpose? So enjoy this conversation again. Thanks for being here, and I'll see you at the end.
We could spend hours talking about all of the different ways that you've helped people through your ministry. Mm-hmm. And now you landed back into, you're still in ministry, but you're not in a teaching role anymore. Well, you are.
Kind of going to be, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So you thought, though, you were done with ministry.
Yep,
okay,
thought I was done with ministry.
I want to spend a little bit of time on that, because that is one of the things that you and I have both, part of both of our journeys.
Yes.
Is this because we both, it sounds like we had really similar origins, mm-hmm. although we have come from different, like, you know, different lives, different yeah. lives, obviously different families and stuff, but similar yeah. fire mm-hmm. that we caught mm-hmm. and passion, mm-hmm. right? Dedication and devotion to like really wanting to like serve people serve. And make a difference. Mm-hmm. But like for both of us in different ways and similar ways too, mm-hmm. like things have kind of like, the phrase that comes to mind is like turn sour.
Yeah.
To make us be like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like this, I mean, honestly, in talking to you right now about all these origins, it's like, God, like, why would I ever want to let go of any of that? Like there's so much goodness there.
I hear you.
But it's like something happened along the road yeah. to like kind of turn us sour a little bit. And what was that for you? Like, what's the turning been?
Yeah.
Now, you're not ready to give up on it altogether, but what's caused you to question or to
shift gears?
Dude, I literally took it right out of my mouth. To shift gears, yeah.
And again, as I'm talking to you, I'm thinking about it because we also just had this conversation at the table of like, it's like when we're at the start of a new relationship, right? It's like exciting and new and joyful, and you're like, I want to know more, I want to do more, I want to be more, I want to. So I feel like throughout all of my 20s it was like that, like mm-hmm. yes, and I would say maybe like halfway through my 30s I was still like on fire, but I would say that one of the things that really shifted, I think I started to think about radical Jesus more. Like radical Jesus kind of came into this place of like, wait a minute, we're saying these things, we're teaching our students these things, but are these institutions like following through, and are we living these things?
Okay, say more about radical. Say more about radical Jesus, because I just imagine yeah. this like Jesus in like a hypercolor t-shirt going radical,
like hippie Jesus.
Okay, say more about radical Jesus yeah. and how what you were seeing was not radical Jesus.
I feel like it in most of these places we were being bogged down by the, are we doing it the right way, as opposed to, are we teaching what Jesus would want us to really teach mm-hmm. by our actions, mm-hmm. not mm-hmm. by our words. So I feel like I started to become disillusioned along okay. the way.
Okay.
Because I'm like, wait, like, did they forget? Did they forget, like, the things that Jesus taught us? Mm-hmm. Like, did they forget? And I mean, I remember a student asking me one time, and I remember being, like, I responded to him with certainty. He said to me, so then what would Jesus say about the refugees? I don't know what year it was. And I said, Jesus would say, let him in. And this 10th grade boy looked at me like,
yeah.
And I was like, we're doing something wrong.
Yeah, yeah. Like we to are, you, it was clear.
It was clear and obvious.
Like you knew radical Jesus. Mm-hmm. Radical Jesus was like the Jesus you met on your, I'm not going to call them missions trips because yeah. it's like immersion. That's a whole other thing.
Immersion trips,
yeah. right? Radical Jesus was like those priests who were like letting the people lead mm-hmm. and like the fire and the justice mm-hmm. and the love yeah. and the passion, right?
Yep.
And the change maker. Mm-hmm. And then here you were in these places where like that radical Jesus was like shackled
yeah.
to the wall.
Like,
the
I don't know where they where is had, he even? What they had, yeah, where they, where was he? Like, Jesus.
Because it became about, like, learning about and following, like, the rules.
The rules, yeah. And I don't believe that that's what Jesus was ever about. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. Jesus was like, how are you, like, yes, you are your brother's keeper.
Like, how are you treating people?
How are point you treating blank. People?
Point like, blank. That's what matters.
And in the last 2 to 3 years, you know, as we experience this reckoning in our country,
uh-huh.
like, I think, really thinking about it, the death of George Floyd kind of put me over the edge.
Yeah.
And being disappointed that so many Catholic institutions that I was a part of and that I wasn't a part of didn't respond in the way that they should have. And still, many of them haven't. So that, mm-hmm. for me, I think, and I still gave it a chance. I still was like, okay, maybe,
mm-hmm.
maybe they'll get it. Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll, you know, jump on board, or maybe they'll remember the radical Jesus.
Mm.
And I think when I didn't see that is when I knew, like, it's time to walk away.
Okay, so what did that look like for you?
The walking away?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I thought in my mind, I was like, done. Like, I don't want anything to do with any Catholic institution or anything Catholic, or I'm done. Okay. Moving on to other things.
Right.
I'll find a way to serve people, but doesn't have to be through a religious institution.
Mm-hmm. How did that feel for you?
It was hard.
That. Yeah.
It was hard because it's all I ever knew.
Yeah.
Since I was 13.
Like, professionally, even pre-professionally,
since I was 13.
It's all you've ever really devoted your time to.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I've been a lay minister.
Yeah.
So a person that's not a nun or a priest. In every part of my life.
Yes.
Not just at my job.
Same.
Right?
Oh, same.
I mean, we meet people all the time. We sit, we talk with them, we listen, we pray with them. We, you know, in every part of our lives, you know, we, it's woven into every part of who we are,
yeah.
you know, and,
yeah.
and all the communities we're a part of, religious or not.
Yeah.
So it was painful to think I was walking away.
I want to spend a little more time on this mm-hmm. in the painful place because
mm-hmm.
I think it's really important
because mm-hmm.
it's like there is a lot of grief involved, and that's something you and I have really shared a lot the last few mm-hmm. years as we've made choices in our lives that have led us away from these what once used to be like safe harbors mm-hmm. and like places of meaning
mm-hmm.
and intentional community and places where we felt like we really belonged and that our gifts were really valued mm-hmm. and that, because I had a very similar kind of exodus.
Mm-hmm.
I was starting to look around and realize like, wow, what I thought this was, or what I thought this was going to be, or what yeah. I thought people knew what I knew.
Yeah.
Is not really, people are more interested in their power, protecting their status, right?
Yeah.
Whether it be at churches or schools, people become very protective mm-hmm. of the way things are.
Yep.
And then like, that is a total recipe for stagnation. And I mean, that it's like, when you look back at scripture and Jesus's life in scripture, like those are the exact situations that he came in
mm-hmm.
to say, oh, you who think you're all that.
You are thy holiest. You think you're thy holiest.
You're really not shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like you know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
it's like, you start to realize like, I don't think everybody sees this
yeah.
the way I see this.
What's like, that whole, like the veil comes off almost like
it does.
And you're like, wait,
and
what?
Then what do you do from there? I think you and I are both trying to figure out what to do from there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where do we go from there?
Mm-hmm.
Cause their one approach would be like, F it, I'm out.
Yeah. Which I thought that's.
Right. And then you find yourself, what, 2 weeks in, not even okay. 2 weeks in.
Not even 2 weeks in.
To work.
Start of work three.
Back with
week
the Catholic
three.
Institution.
Yes.
Or organization. You should say.
Yeah.
But how is this okay for you? What's This is a shift.
Yes.
You're not teaching in a school. Mm-hmm. You're not serving in a church community. Mm-hmm. You're part of a wider,
way wider
organization. And how is it different, but also how is it like meeting your need to be involved in ministry?
Yeah. I think the biggest difference is that it's the radical Jesus getting to yell out and scream out.
Okay. Loud. So it's like, you don't have to be secret about it. No. You don't have to be subversive. Like, I'm just going to sneak this into my lesson plan.
Yes.
And hope they don't look at my syllabus because I'm teaching the students things that they probably wouldn't want me to teach them.
Oops.
Sneaking it in.
Yeah. No, this, I mean, I should also say that, like, I had all these prayers, right, for what my next job was going to look like.
Yeah.
And that it needed to be centered around the needs of my family.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm definitely in a different place in my life. And so are my kids, you know? And
so meaning you wanted to be able to physically be present to your kids.
Yeah, more present because ministry doesn't work like that with ministry.
So ministry tends to like suck the living shit out of you. Sorry.
And it, you know, there's nights, there's weekends, yeah. There's retreats away, there's days away, right? I remember being away from my daughter when she was two for 3 nights, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Not really thinking anything of it because I'm like, oh, this is my work. Like, this is my ministry. And now that, you know, I'm in this new job, I'm just in awe by my prayers answered and more.
Do you want to talk a little bit about the new job?
Yeah. I think the biggest part of this new job is that it's centered around global solidarity. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And being our brother's keeper, which mm-hmm. is something I always knew.
Yeah.
And that Guatemala trip was the first time I knew it and I understood it and I realized it.
Yeah.
That just because I live in America and there's a lot happening here too. Like I'm not going to discredit that. Like there's plenty of people who need help here.
Yeah.
But the resources are here for those people and we need to continue to do better here.
Yeah.
But that what we're doing here is affecting our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world.
Uh-huh.
And that I have the opportunity to teach, to train, to share with people of faith that what we have read about the things Jesus said are true and that we are being called to be our brother's keeper. And how can we do that? Through advocacy, through legislative work, through I think an area of ministry and justice and service that I hadn't quite fully tapped into.
Okay.
But it was always kind of in the back of my mind, you know?
Well, it's not like, it's not surprising. It's not a stretch for those of us who know and love you. Like it's a natural.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, maybe you haven't done it, mm-hmm. but it's like, it's part of who you are.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like it's an opportunity for me to grow in a way that I think I always wanted to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And wanting to bring that to, you know, different communities across the country, to Spanish speaking communities. So it's also a full circle moment
mm-hmm.
because my first job out of college was, I mean, I was thrown in, but I was teaching like these courses to people in parishes who were like 2-3 times my age in Spanish and in English.
Mm-hmm. What was the nature of the courses?
They were called parish formation.
Okay.
So these courses were for people who were already serving in the parishes and they just wanted to learn more.
Yeah.
About like the courses were Jesus, God, and the church. Mm-hmm. Those were the three courses.
Mm-hmm.
That's people learning a little bit more about, you know, some of the details of church history and things like that.
Why they're doing what they're doing.
And, yeah. And what does it mean? And, you know, things like that. But like these people who were older than me trusted me
You know, and were willing to listen to me. And I think, I'd like to think it's because I was really passionate about it and really excited. So I feel a lot of that same kind of energy and spirit and fire that I felt coming out of college going into this new work. And I had forgotten what that felt like.
Amen. I mean, even talking to you tonight about all of this is reconnecting me with those early roots and that purity, right? I'm so happy for you, and I'm a little bit jealous.
Thank you.
That's the best compliment.
I know, you're right.
But like, I am so happy for you.
Thank you.
You did not deserve to waste away in a classroom becoming embittered and disillusioned.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people do that. Actually.
Yeah.
Because they think they have to.
Yep.
And that actually poisons the well for everybody.
Yeah.
Right. Because what are the students getting from those people?
Yeah. And I had to, that's what, one of the things I had to pay attention to, like what kind of energy and spirit was I walking into the classroom with?
Yeah.
And that wasn't like,
you didn't want to be there.
I wasn't present. I wasn't joyful. I wasn't taking it out on them, but I also wasn't present. And well, that wasn't fair to them.
I'm sure, though, you were a lot better than you realize.
I hope so.
I don't think even on your worst day, you could ever be terrible.
Well, and I still keep in touch with, like, some of the students. And, you know, I miss them.
Well, even if just they know that you cared. You know what I mean? Like, that's a lot more than they could get from some teachers.
Yeah. I definitely cared, for sure.
So how do you reconcile all the stuff? I don't want to have to mark my episode as explicit. Beep. How do you reconcile the stuff? Mm-hmm. Like the average everyday BS that still exists. Like I was just listening to, did you get to listen to Glennon and Abby and Sister's interview with Kamala Harris?
I didn't get to finish it. I started it.
Right?
Yeah.
All about reproductive rights. Okay, like these hot button issues that like where the Catholic faith rubs up against the major hot button issues of our day, right? Like the gay rights and marriage, the body autonomy and the abortion. Like these are things where like our church, I'll say our church, because like I haven't divorced myself entirely.
You haven't walked away yet.
I haven't walked away yet. But like where our church is like either silent about or very vocal about being on what I would consider perhaps the wrong side of history.
I like the way you worded that.
Like, how do you reconcile that today? And you don't have to have like a pretty answer, but like, how are you grappling? How are you dealing with that today?
I think I'm still grappling with it because because I have a 14-year-old daughter who I feel, and an 8-year-old son who I will need to answer to at some point.
Yeah.
You know, because they will start to ask more questions as they, you know, they're in classes right now. You know, they're in those religious education classes and they're asking questions too. You know, I think about what do I want them to know about their faith or what do I want them to know about our faith, right? Because it's theirs and mine. And I always come back to the same thing with them. And I always say, like, stand for justice. Like, don't stay quiet. Don't stand by, you know? And you, like, the voice of God is on your heart. Mm-hmm. And you will know. And you will listen, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And you will know what to do and what is right.
Yeah.
You know? But I'm still grappling. I'm still grappling. I'm still think about a lot of those things every day. And how I struggled with, you know, maybe some of the teachings and having to bring those into the classroom because it was part of my work.
Totally.
Like that was hard.
I know so many people who are ex-Catholics. Mm-hmm. I know so many people who have left the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. But I feel like what I have that's different from them, and maybe I don't know enough about them, but it's that I have these experiences like what we've had.
Yes.
Of like very personal, very, very like Christ-centered. And when I say that, I mean that in like the broadest sense, like almost like outside the confines of the institutional church experiences of community, of service, of spirituality that transcend the dogma. And I feel like I'm both blessed and cursed to have had this because it makes it so hard to leave when there's so, you know how good it could be. Mm-hmm. But then you also know how terrible it is in some ways. And you're like,
how can I stay?
Yeah.
Like, how can I stay with all the sex abuse scandal?
Mm-hmm.
For me, a big thing was, well, the sex abuse scandal.
Yeah, that was huge in the early 2000s.
But also, like, semi-recently, well, I've been really involved in music ministry. Mm-hmm. And that's been a huge part of my tie into the church. I've been on lots of recordings. I've done tons of singing for religious events. And to find out that a very prominent musical composer in the Catholic faith has been, I don't know if he's been convicted. I won't say because I don't know, but at least accused on many counts of, what do you say? Sexual
assault, harassment.
Assault, harassment, and by like trusted sources.
Yep.
That was a huge, that was a huge blow for me. Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah. Because like I knew people who were like directly affected. I know people who were directly affected by that.
That's huge.
And it's like you just pretend like it didn't happen. I don't know what you do exactly. And every once in a while, it'll come up a chance to use one of his songs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh my God, this song would be so perfect for this service. And then I go, oh shoot, look at the composer. And I'm like, we can't use it.
Mm-hmm.
Darn it.
Yeah.
But it's like that for me was a big, I don't know, red flag.
Yeah.
It made it hard for me to want to continue to be involved. No judgment on the people who continue to be involved. Yeah. But like for me, just it's hard to just pretend like that didn't happen, especially when you know that there were like a lot of, it's like an inside job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that veil of secrecy,
yep.
That kind of like, again, that even though he wasn't a priest, but like that clericalism where like there's you still worship a protection. And honor,
yeah.
You protect these like, you know, famous people. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't want to be part of that.
Yeah.
But it's really hard to just walk away entirely when there's so much good.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like by taking the job that you've taken, like you've managed to like keep your foot in the door.
Yeah.
In a way that has integrity for you and like is allowing you to give in the way that means something for you.
Yep. Yeah. I feel like it's like give, grow, and learn for me in a way that I can't say that I envisioned it. I envisioned something, but I didn't know what it was going to look like. And now that it's here, it makes sense. And I'm like, oh, yes. Okay. And also, I feel like God was not willing to let me go yet.
Yeah.
I really believe that at my core.
Yeah.
That God was like, no, it's not over yet.
Well, what would going have meant?
I think it would have meant losing a piece of myself.
I was just going to say that.
And it's a big piece. You know? And, you know, my kids are both in religious education. And I think, you know, everybody asks me, like, why are your kids in religious? And I said, I was given a foundation that I'm very thankful for.
Yeah.
That brought me to this place that I'm in right at this moment, 20 something years after graduating college. And I want to give them that foundation, and what they choose to do with it or don't do with it is up to them. But I feel like a sense of responsibility to give it to them at least, and at least put it before them and then allow them to choose without any pressure or any sense of, you know, like maybe you and I felt like, oh, we have to be Catholic. Like we're going to be, you know?
Yeah. 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 You have to be.
Yeah.
That's like the true way.
The only way.
And also like you got to go to mass every weekend because there's no good excuse and all of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of pressure.
Yeah. And I don't like, that's not what I want for my kids, but do I want to give them, I always say it's a gift. I'm giving them a gift, and what they decide to do with the gift is going to be up to them. Without pressure from me or without this sense of they have to do it.
Yeah.
But at least they'll have it, you know? And I'm so thankful because their religious education currently is like such a beautiful, like they are both having these amazing experiences and are really learning. You know, there's still the things, like they still got to learn the prayers. They still got, you know, those things are there, which it's totally fine. But, you know, when my kids, like, my 8-year-old's like, oh, mom, we read this story today, you know? And then I'm like, oh, yeah, what did it mean to you? We just got to love people. And I'm just like, yes. Yes, so that's radical, like, Jesus. Radical Jesus. Yes.
I'm like, radical Jesus would put his stamp.
Yeah. Like if they're walking away with that, you know, and he's in his second year, he's about to finish up. Like he gets it. He gets it in the way that, you know, children get it and that we forget.
See, I'm struggling with the fact that I'm not giving that to my kids.
Why do you think you're struggling with that?
Because I want them to. I mean, I had a lot of really good early experiences of faith and religion. And like, I know a lot of people that didn't.
Yeah.
Like,
same.
I don't know. I really struggle because like part of me is like, I should be like, I hear you and I'm like, yes, Marcella. Like, yeah, there's zero part of me that's like, oh, she's doing the wrong thing or oh, I disagree with her. It's like, but then when I try to superimpose that on myself, I'm like, I don't know. I feel like I should want to give that to them. But I don't know that I do.
Yeah.
I might also feel like one step further removed because like my mom is Catholic and my dad is not. Mm. So growing up, it was like my mom was the one, you know, like, like not pushing us, but like.
She was the keeper of the faith.
Yeah. My dad had nothing to do with it. And like, I don't know, maybe like I'm already like a step removed from it where it doesn't feel as crucial to me. Like we do sometimes read children's Bible. We do celebrate Advent, we light the candles. They know about Jesus, you know, not details, but I don't know. I feel bad that they're not getting that. Yeah. I'm not really giving them any religious community at all. I don't know that it feels like it has integrity for me though to put them in a Catholic.
Well, it has to be authentic to you. And if it's not, then there's nothing wrong with that.
I think it's just also points to
the Catholic obligation. You still have that. That's still lingering in there, you know?
Like I go to Catholic places and I meet Catholic people who are like really in it to win it. And like, I'm kind of jealous of them.
Yeah.
But like, I can't.
But it's not who we are. Yeah, it's not who we are.
But I just have to trust that like what I'm giving them is enough. Mm-hmm. You know, I stopped going to Catholic church. I'm going to this Unitarian Universalist, old hippies.
Around the corner.
Old hippies. I feel okay there, but I definitely miss, I think once you've been Catholic, it's really hard to not be,
I think so too.
Like the sense of ritual.
Yes.
The beauty of the music. It's hard because you have those like nostalgic connections, like a family, right?
Yeah.
To things, whether they're right or wrong. You're like, I miss the smell of incense. I miss the mass.
Yes.
You know? But then I go to mass and I'm like, God, I can't do this. You know, it's like, I'm in this like pass in between place, you know, where like, I am really in between.
I was going to say that to you. You're in between and you might be there for a while.
It's really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But
because you want to have a decision. You want to be like, am I going to do this with my kids or not?
I do want a decision.
Right. But the middle also means you're giving them the best that you can give them while you figure it out, you know, like, and that's.
Well, and like, hearing you talk about your early experiences with justice and me really reigniting that, I'm like, wow, like that's what I want to bring my kids into.
There you go.
You know, I mean, I had similar experience in El Salvador that you had in Guatemala. I was there for about 3 weeks, almost a month, actually.
Oh, my gosh.
I was there alone, though. I was there alone.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was placed with people, friends of friends, but I was the only person I knew there.
Oh, my gosh.
I lived with the sisters.
Oh, my gosh.
And then I did parish work. My friend Bernardo here, he had grown up there. He came here as a teenager. And one of his best friends was the priest in the parish.
Wow.
So I was living with the sisters in the house. And then I'd go to the church down the street and help in the church with the father, Carlos. And I wasn't really helping anybody.
You were immersed.
I was there to help, and I wasn't helping anybody. I was having an awakening.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that the sister would say, you're having an experience.
Oh.
Sister Yolanda, you're having an experience.
She knew.
People would say, what is she doing here? What are you doing here? You know?
Yeah.
She's having an experience.
Yeah. An experience, yeah.
Yes.
An experience.
Yeah. And I did. It was so eye-opening. It was so I went to the place where Father Romero was standing when he was assassinated.
Yes, I've been there.
I went to his bedroom.
His bedroom.
You went there.
I did. I went with the university ministry when I worked there. I had the opportunity to take students. That was
Right?
Yeah.
That was my first day, Marcy.
Oh God, that was your first day.
I flew in. Oh God. I napped in some lady's son was away at college, and I napped in his bed.
There you go.
I woke up and Father Carlos took me.
Like, come on, let's go. Yeah,
I had never, I didn't even know about this stuff. I knew a little bit about the Jesuit martyrs because of LMU. Mm-hmm. They had done a reenactment every year at LMU, but I wasn't really super involved. And I was in the garden.
Yeah, you couldn't miss it.
And I was in the library where they have all the photographs. And I remember Father Carlos telling me, don't look at the pictures.
Yeah, don't look.
You can look at these pictures, but those pictures on that shelf, you don't look at those.
Yeah, no. I did not look.
I don't think I did. Mm-mm. I think I would have remembered if I had.
I definitely didn't.
But that was my first day.
Wow.
Welcome. Let me tell you what we're about. Yep. Oh my God. Okay. Here I think I'm coming to
help.
I don't know. I'm coming to help some people.
Yeah.
But anyway, and even my very brief experience with New Day Collection.
Yeah.
That for me was I get to be involved again in a global.
That's why you connected with it. It made sense to me when you got involved with Noonday. I was like, I know exactly why she's connected to it.
Maybe that's a way that my kids, I don't know how or when or where.
Yeah. Somehow. Type of service, some type, even if it's,
homeless ministry or something.
One of the things we did over COVID was we gathered things for a school. Mm-hmm. And even just the kids watching me do that and reaching out to family and asking.
Yeah.
Family, and then, gathering toys for Guadalupe Center.
Yeah.
And I think the really most amazing experience that I recently had was with my daughter. I love her teacher. She goes to a charter school. Her teacher had them do a service project. And of course, I'm the one that's like, can I come?
Yeah.
And, she said, oh, maybe. And I said, okay. I said, well, if you need help or if you want a parent to come, I'd be happy to. So yeah, 2 days before, the teacher's like, yeah, come. And it's actually here in San Fernando Valley Refugee Center.
Okay.
Not too far from where we live. We didn't really know what we were going to do, but we showed up and it was really hanging out with kids and playing. And then the moms made lunch for everybody.
Yeah.
We distributed backpacks and
so
it wasn't this it wasn't we went to do service. It was we went to be in community.
Yeah.
And I realized it really impacted my daughter. She's like, Mom, we got to go back. And I was like, oh my God, we do have to go back. So I'm like, oh, I got to call. I got to connect with the woman that's in charge there.
Yeah.
Because there's something about it that my daughter, she got it, And I didn't have to talk her ear off about this is,
She understood why it was important.
Yeah.
And she felt like she made a difference.
Yeah. And even just she knew she wasn't coming into
save the
I'm
day.
Gonna do, it was she was watching one of the babies while the mom was cooking in the kitchen.
I think it just feels really good to be part of something.
Yeah. And it was very communal.
Yeah.
And we ended the morning with, it was 9 to 12. So we ended the day with lunch together, all the kids and the moms.
All of my best service experiences have had that tone of community.
Yeah,
you know, building houses in Mexico with the kids from our high school, taking them every summer, and and just contributing, and participating, be part of something.
Yeah. And isn't that? I think about isn't that what ministry maybe should be defined as? Being together, being in community, it's that sense of solidarity. It's that, being together, just being.
For the good of everyone.
For the good of everyone, not just as doing and this leading and this planning and this creating, but rather how are we being in community together?
Dude, and that is exactly why I moved into this house. And I hope I don't lose my vision, my initial vision of being here.
Yeah.
of really wanting, like as I walk around my neighborhood, mm-hmm. I'm filled with enthusiasm and ideas about how to like bring people together,
yeah.
or at least be with people. Mm-hmm. Like I walked past the Sikh temple on the corner yesterday.
Yeah.
And I was like, I heard singing coming from there. And I was like, okay, I need to get in there.
Yeah. Like, how do I get in there? I need to make friends with?
Yeah. And I'm walking through the neighborhood. I'm looking, like kind of peeking past people's fences into their backyards. I'm seeing back houses and I'm seeing backyards and I'm mm-hmm. seeing long tables set out in front. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, there's probably like people making all kinds of good food around here mm-hmm. and having really cool gatherings. And like, I'm just so tired of living like a separated, isolated life. Yeah. I want to like be with people.
Yeah.
Like I want to have like events in my backyard and like music and, you know, just like, bring people together.
Yeah.
So.
And that's ministry.
Well, that is ministry, whether you call it in the name of Jesus or not, right?
It's ministry, bringing people together.
That's the thing. I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to be like, either I'm immersed in ministry or like, I'm just living this like mm-hmm. solitude, selfish, secular life.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be a way to like.
Well, and I think that's what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
I think you're trying to bring them. There's a merging happening, but you're still trying to figure out what that looks like. You know?
I think I just need to remove all the labels, remove any mm-hmm. label.
Yeah. I agree.
Right?
I feel like it would facilitate that merging.
Yeah.
Right?
But I still
– Or you're re-weaving.
What I long for, though, is that like feeling of connection.
Mm-hmm.
That I've had in my ministry experiences.
Yeah.
And I think in talking to you, it's helping me remember, like, I need to remember the essence of what was part of those
mm-hmm.
and just like do those again, yeah. whether it's in Jesus's name or not.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it's not about the name, it's about the spirit.
Yep. And I think that was Jesus's message.
That was his whole point.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Be with people. And be with them in spirit, like be like this being, right? Like I think about that a lot. I think about how, like when we talk about, or when I talk about ministry of presence, like for me, that's what it's about. Like, how am I being with people, you know, whether I'm talking or not?
You've always been really good at that in my experience.
Well, I'm always the one that gets lost on a service trip. They can't find me because I'm in the kitchen talking to the ladies who are cooking.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, I have a friend who told me, he's like, of course you're in the kitchen sitting down, having, you know, a glass of water and like.
Well, because you're not going to stand on the perimeter.
Never.
You're going to get into the middle of it.
Yeah.
And you're going to bring a cup of tea.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Like, I think about Martha and Mary, right? Like, the story of Martha and Mary. Like,
tell.
I can never remember which is which. Well, I'm the one that's like wants to sit at the, you know, in the story, the sister that sits at the foot of Mary.
Okay.
I think at the foot of Jesus, right? And just wants to listen and be. That's me. Like, I am very much aware that I don't necessarily want to like cook and clean and serve, but like, that's really important too. You know,
I get wrapped up in that.
Yeah, yeah. That's your.
I get wrapped up in the.
The Martha.
Yeah, in the grunt work,
mm-hmm.
and making sure everything's done and everything's set.
Yeah.
And sometimes forget to just be with people. Sometimes it's uncomfortable for me.
Yeah, I get that.
To just be.
And I'm the opposite. I don't like doing. I want to be.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I realize like people in my life are like, God, you like to be a lot. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. Like it's definitely a part of my nature to just want to be. And I think that's a key piece to ministry is like being. Like, how are we being with people? You know, those closest to us, those we meet on the street, those we meet at the grocery store. At Target, you know, like the cashier. Like, how are we being?
Mm.
How are we present to people? And because I think our living ministry is in everything we do. It can't be separate.
Mm. What a blessing you are.
cute.
I've forgotten about all of this. I feel like before when we were just ministry partners, we were never just ministry partners. We were always friends, but we were heavily in a ministry together. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I recognized and benefited from your gifts more than I am today. Aww. Like, I don't know, maybe because that was just, I got to see you in action more often. You know, I mean, it's obviously like,
I was in action.
For granted, but like, you are still that with me. Mm. I think I've started to take you for granted a little bit. But it's like,
I would never think that.
Well, I mean, I adore you, but I think I've forgotten like the magic that you've, oh my God, it's like Encanto.
Oh, I just watched it. I was going to say, you just watched it.
I just watched it, right? Oh, like the gift that you bring is that, like, and you bring it everywhere. Like,
oh, thank you.
And it's like, you help draw it out of me. And I just, I miss when we used to spend like all of our time together.
Oh my gosh. Like
every day.
Every day. All day.
Yeah.
Let's go to lunch.
Like,
let's
you brought out the best in me. Cause like you being you was like, oh, I want to be like that too. You know?
Wow.
Like, I'm thinking about like MLC. Remember?
Oh my gosh.
And like hosting those faith sharing, and like you'd like set the tea out and have all the things and all the hospitality and then run the meeting. And like, it was just so graceful and so grace filled. And I was just like, oh, I get to like be like in her light and just like, you know, like be part of what she's doing. I was like, yay.
What a cry.
Cause I've always been like more about like, I mean, I'm a performer, so like it's natural. I feel like it was really naturally for me to perform and to be very much about like, how do I look? How do I sound? Mm-hmm. Are people paying attention to me? And that's like opposite of you. You're like,
oh gosh,
I'm paying attention to other people, right?
Yeah. I'd like to just show up and see what happens.
You're so good
I think that's what it is. I show up and I'm just like, all right, let's see what happens.
You're good at it.
Aww,
yeah.
Thank you. That means a lot.
It's, I miss more. I mean, I know we have each other, but like, and we have each other on a different level now, more like woman to woman, right?
Yeah, like sharing our struggles, motherhood, and our professional journeys. Or I mean, just think about it. We've known each other. What did I? Since 2006.
So what? 17 years. Mm-hmm. That's a long time.
That's a teenager. That's a senior in high school.
Yeah,
that's wild.
Yeah. Well, God willing, we get to do that kind of work together again.
I think so.
You know? I mean, we are tonight.
I know.
I love it.
Me too.
I've learned a lot about you.
I know. Same. How did we never talk about some of these things?
I think some things go unsaid because you just kind of, you almost don't need to.
No.
Like, yeah, we're made of the same stuff. We don't know how, but we know it.
We know it. We always knew it.
Yeah.
I think we always knew that there's some key things that connected us, and it's obvious. Obviously, we learned some of that tonight. And yeah, I don't know. I just think about like the gift of friendship. And I don't know if you remember, but I'm going to find it actually. It's in my email too. It might be in my old email.
The archives.
It might be in the
dusty archives.
But instead of calling you soul sister when I spoke at your wedding, I remember saying you are the sister of my soul.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I understand that more deeply now.
Mm.
Like I knew it, but I didn't fully know it until these last few years because we've connected. Like we always knew our souls were connected, but I think in the last few years, we've come to more deeply understand what that means and what that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you're like my big soul sister, though. even though you're younger than me,
aww.
I do look to you for guidance and you know for as an example. No pressure.
Oh God.
No, I mean really, no pressure at all.
Shit.
No. You don't have to do anything different.
Just be me. Just be me.
You
okay.
And do your thing, and I'm like,
I can do that.
Oh, so I'm going to sell this in your kids' religious education. Okay.
All right. And you know that we could go on and on. And in fact, we did. I think I edited 10 minutes off the end of that. And that was just the part we actually recorded. So You know, just walking away from this time with Marcella with lots to grapple with and a lot to reflect on and a deep sense of gratitude for her friendship in this journey of faith life. So if this resonated with you, I'm so happy. If you learned something, if you want to talk about any of it, have any questions, please always feel free to reach out to me. You can email me at thesharingprojectpodcast@gmail.com. You can also leave a message if you're listening on Spotify. And as always, I hope you enjoyed this episode, actually these episodes. And if you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others that you think would benefit. Post about it on social media. Leave a rating, leave a review, all of the above if you wish. And also, you can follow me on Instagram at The Sharing Project Podcast, and I hope you will. Thanks again so much, and I'll see you next time.